Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is La Casa Inc. Support Services Director, Pat Acosta, to talk to us about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
I'm delighted to be here.
You're welcome. Well, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, like every agency or every support that is out there for the community, we have the month of October to celebrate and bring awareness to the community. So that's why we call it the National Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So what you'll see is anybody that works in this field is going to be doing a lot of activities of awareness, a lot of tablings, a lot of presentations, just to bring awareness about the topic of violence in the household. La Casa is a nonprofit organization, and we were established in 1981 here in the city of Las Cruces. It started actually with a little casita, a small house, and now it is one of the largest comprehensive domestic violence programs in the state of New Mexico. We offer a whole variety of services. Primarily, we have an emergency shelter that can house a woman and their children, as well as men. We don't see domestic violence as being a gender issue. Domestic violence also impacts men and women. And a lot of men always tell us, oh, you only give services to women. No, it's not a gender issue. Domestic violence, we can provide services to whoever is the victim. We have an emergency shelter. We have a capacity of up to 84 individuals, and we are full 80% of the time. So we always have people there, unfortunately. We also provide non-residential services. What does this mean? It's women who might still be in the relationship, or men, and they want to make the relationship work. They want to educate themselves. So we provide counseling. We also have children's services. We also provide community education, community advocacy, and community awareness like I'm doing today. We also have a batters intervention program, and we service the offenders. Not all domestic violence programs offer that. So that's why La Casa is considered comprehensive. We also provide trainings to other entities, as other support services like Child Protective Services. We work with La Piñon. We work with the Sheriff's Department. We work with the El Paso and the Las Cruces Police, because we do have some clients sometimes that come from El Paso. We are a border city. So sometimes victims need to leave, whether it's Ciudad Juarez, whether it's El Paso, and we end up working with them as well.
What are some of the questions people ask about domestic violence?
The biggest myth, I say, that comes with the question is, so why does she stay? A lot of people don't understand, and we tend to, as a society, to judge the victim. Women and men stay for different reasons. We know that sometimes it's hope that the situation is going to change. Definitely love. There could be fear. Also, what if you are undocumented and you don't have a sense of support? And so if he says, well, if you're going to leave me, you leave, but you don't take the children with you. So there's a lot of reasons why victims decide to stay. We really don't have one set reason why they stay.
So what are some of the behaviors or factors that cause domestic violence?
You know, it can be a variety of things. We know that when we speak with victims and we work with offenders, a lot of people don't realize that it doesn't necessarily have to be physical abuse. And I think that's the biggest myth. So we teach offenders, we don't counsel offenders. So one of the reasons that we do that is we want them to be accountable for the actions that they do. So when you start seeing controlling behaviors, for example, he'll tell you what to wear, what not to wear, who you can speak to, who you can't. You'll see some isolation. They be setting very unrealistic expectations. They'll go ahead and act very jealous and then turn it around and say, well, I do it because I love you. You know that that's why I do it. It's not because I don't want you to go out. So it's a way of how they behave, tends to blame the victim or blame others. Oftentimes, one of the things that we see a lot is using the children. And the way that this becomes a threat is the woman doesn't want to lose their children. As a matter of fact, we know that the victim doesn't want their husband or their wife to go to jail. They just want the violence to stop. It's very important. And so when we start working with victims and we start working with offenders, sometimes if you're not careful, we see mutual behaviors. And so who is the primary offender? Who is the predominant offender? A lot of the times we assume that if a woman is acting in self-defense or a victim is acting in self-defense, should you see a person that is scratched? But what if she reports, well, he was trying to strangle me and I did it in self-defense? So we have to be very careful because domestic violence is still a hidden epidemic and it's a very complex crime.
How long have you been with La Casa Support Services?
I've been with La Casa for 9 years. I've been doing domestic violence for 33.
And what is your passion to get involved? I understand you're a domestic violence survivor.
Yes, I am. I think the commitment or the passion for doing this work is being able to be a vehicle of change. And I love working with offenders. That's primarily what I like to do. And I like doing that because when I experienced my abuse, I was a very young person. I was 17 years old the first time I got beaten. By the time I was 18, I had 3 children because I had twins. Not understanding the dynamics of domestic violence, not wanting my mother to know, not wanting my brothers to know, I isolated myself even further. The sad thing in my case is by the time I was in that relationship for 4 years, I became a verbally abusive offender towards my couple. And it was really sad because I wasn't aware of what I was doing. I was just frustrated. I was bitter. I didn't like the way my life was going. And I didn't realize that by being verbally abusive, I was also impacting my children. So the commitment and my passion comes in working with offenders, make them understand that, you know what, there is no justification for being abusive and that we have to be accountable. So I had to get help. It was the best thing that I could have done.
And how did you go out and seek help?
I had a situation where it was a Saturday morning. I'll never forget it. My twins wanted breakfast like most children do. They won't wake up during the week, but on Saturday they're up at 5 o'clock. They want pancakes. And my partner had beaten me the night before, and his form of abuse was strangulation. So when I woke up, it was 10 o'clock in the morning. I didn't realize my daughters were yelling, "Mommy, Mommy, we're hungry." And I proceeded to wake up like a monster, and I used profanity, and I yelled at them, and I pushed them. And when I went to the bathroom and saw my face, I had a distorted monster face, and I ran downstairs. We were in a basement in El Paso. I proceeded to hug them. They didn't even want to get close to me. They were so scared. And it was there that I realized I had a problem, and I needed help. Not knowing where to go, this is back in the 80s. It was 1983. I left. I was very fortunate to have a little bit of money saved. I went to a hotel, and on Monday morning, not knowing where to go, I went to the food stamp office because that's in the community that I grew up in, El Segundo Barrio. You know, everybody went to the food stamp office to get help. I went, and I was very blessed. There was a eligibility worker who says, you know, there's programs out there, proceeded to give me the number for the shelter in El Paso. I still remember the number. And I called, and they gave me some referrals, and I proceeded to go, and I started meeting. I never went to the shelter. I was very blessed, but I started getting counseling services, and it was through the YWCA, and I'm very blessed that I got that help.
What is the crisis number here in Las Cruces?
In Las Cruces, if anybody is experiencing domestic violence or you know of someone, please call 575-526-9513.
And you do offer services both in Spanish and in English. Is there more violence in the Hispanic community as opposed to other ethnicities?
We know that domestic violence does not discriminate in gender, socioeconomic, race, economic status, or even education. Because we are a border city, because we service a community that is quite large Latinos, we tend to see more clients that are Hispanic or Mexican or Latinos, however they choose to identify themselves. But I wouldn't say that violence happens more in those communities. So it depends. It's a representation of your community and the census of your community.
And when you give presentations about your experience, what is the biggest question people ask of you?
One of the questions that people used to ask is, did you ever feel that you would become violent, or did you ever feel justified to do violence? And at the beginning, it was a very complex question because I never thought about that. At the time that you're experiencing abuse, I don't think you process that. I just wanted to survive. And I was very submissive. I was very afraid of him. So I never dare even think about hitting him or responding. He was a very big-billed man. So that was never a question. The other question that I get a lot is, why do you stay? And when I respond to them and say it was fear, it was embarrassment. I didn't want my family to worry. I didn't want my mother to worry. And so the sooner community learns to not judge the victim, the better we're going to do in providing a true advocacy and support. Because I think, unfortunately, we've come a long ways. The laws have changed. In the 80s, when I was being abused, the police may arrest. Now the state presses the charges. So if somebody calls because they're hearing their neighbor being hit, the police are going to respond. If they determine there was a predominant offender, the state will press the charges, not the victim. So back in the day, there was a lot of burden on the victim. Well, do you want to press charges, man? The officers couldn't arrest. If the victim said yes at the time of despair, it was not even an hour, 2 hours where they were getting them out of jail because the offender was calling them, hey, baby, come get me out, or vale más que me vengas a sacar, or you better come get me. Whatever the situation was, it was taking longer. So the laws have changed. We've come a long ways. Back in the 80s, we didn't have as many comprehensive services. We were just starting to work with offenders. So I think even us in the field, we've learned a lot, and we never stop learning.
What other services does La Casa offer?
One of the other services that we offer is legal advocacy. What does this mean? One of the things that clients can do is file a restraining order so that they can go ahead and try to leave peaceful. So we do have an advocate that specializes in that. We also have advocates that go to court with clients. And one of the things I forgot to mention to you is we have a satellite office in Anthony, New Mexico. And speaking about the legal, you know, when all of this immigration that we're seeing, a lot of the victims in that area have stopped calling because of fear. They're afraid to be deported. Sometimes the offender will use a tactic and say, all I have to do is call La Migra, call the Border Patrol, and you leave, but my kids are U.S. citizens, they stay. So with all the immigration impact that we're seeing, we are not seeing as many clients as we used to get. There was a time where I had 3 support groups going on at the community. Right now we have 2. And so it's important for people to know that if you are a victim of domestic violence and you're in this country, and it's not just Mexican, you can be of another ethnicity, but if you are not a U.S. citizen, and should you be a victim of domestic violence, we can help you with that. The Violence Against Women Act, which is a federal law, protects women and men that have been victimized as a result of domestic violence, and then the legal advocate will go ahead and work with them. We can either help them obtain a U visa or a VAWA permit. And of course, it needs to be determined that you are indeed a victim of domestic violence, but that's a service that we also offer.
And the crisis number again is 575-526-9513, and on the website, lacasainc.org. Is La Casa doing something special for October Domestic Violence Awareness Month?
That's a great question, Emily. We actually are having our annual vigil. It's going to be October the 18th at La Plaza de las Cruces. And what people can expect between 5 and 8 o'clock, it is here testimonials. We'll have keynote speakers. And we talk about what it is, you know, to be a survivor. We have awareness. We have other people with information. There will be food. We have tablings. We have booths. And it's just a beautiful night to come together as a community and become aware that it is a problem. But community is a big impact, because with the support of the community, we can change laws, we can change the attitude, the philosophy. So please come and join us. And that is going to be on October the 18th from 5 to 8 at La Plaza.
Is there something else you'd like for our listener to know about La Casa, especially being October Domestic Violence Awareness Month?
For them to know that there is someone to help. The crisis line is available 24/7. We always have people answering the line, and it's a support for the community. And I love the name of your program because, you know, when you say bridges to the community, we are part of the community. So please bridge out to us and come on over the puente, and we're there to support you.
Thank you so much. Support Services Director of La Casa Inc., Pat Acosta.
Muchísimas gracias.
You're welcome. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.